Well, good morning. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Everybody come in, and we're going to worship. God, I just ask right now that you would just set your spirit right on each one. And God, move in a way that we each need today. And we just thank you that we have Jesus as our foundation, God, and that you take care of everything in our lives and beyond our lives, God. In Jesus' name.
is in the room. Come see the scars of love upon his hands. The King is in the room. We'll watch the darkness flee at his command. Who is this King? Who is this King? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Light of the world. There's freedom in his name. Awesome in power. Reigning forever. Light of the world. There's freedom in his name. The healer's in the room. Let miracles break out across this place. Saviors in the room. No soul beyond the boundaries of His grace. There's resurrection power in His name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Light of the world. There's freedom in His name. Never been a love so great. He died so we could live. Then he rose up from that grave. Oh, name another King like this. Now all authority forever belongs to him. He reigns in victory. Name another King. There's never been a love so great. He died so we could live. Then he rose up from that grave. Name another King like this. Now all authority forever belongs to him. He reigns in victory. Name another King like this. Yeah.
Amen. Are we so grateful that we have Jesus? as we were preparing this week, we really found that, like, he's this substantial, like, solid rock, of course, but he brings us to the, like, for me, I kind of live up here, but he grounds us. Jesus grounds us. His name grounds us. His name has power and authority, and we all have access to that because of that Holy Spirit in us. So, God, I just ask that you just rest that right over each mind and body, that Jesus, the power in his name, is more than we can really understand. And we're your kids. So, God, I give us all to you.
You are for me. Amen. We get to claim today that we are his kids. Kids that are deeply loved and chosen. What a great way to lead into celebrating this morning. If we haven't had the chance to meet, I'm Amy Sheridan. I get the privilege to lead our kids ministry. It's so good to see each and every one of you. You can go ahead and have a seat this morning. We get to enter into a time of child dedication. And so child dedication reminds each and every one of us that in Psalm 139, God declares over us, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works, God, are wonderful, and I know that full well. The act of child dedication is found in 1 Samuel when Hannah is crying out to the Lord for a child, and he gives her this gift of Samuel, and she goes and dedicates him to the Lord. We also read about Mary and Joseph dedicating Jesus in the temple. It says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This act of child dedication is presenting our kids to the Lord, knowing that he loves them even more than we do, knowing that he has great plans and purpose for each and every one of them. And you as the church family are also part of their family. We know in heaven there's no marriage or giving in marriage, but that we're all one family in Christ. So today we come together as their church family to dedicate ourselves to also raising these kids to know and love Jesus. And even someday, they're going to be leading us, this next generation. So we get to learn from them and all the spiritual gifts that God's going to give to them. I just want to invite the family that is, each family that's coming to dedicate, to head up on stage. And I'll just give a little introduction. So come on up to our parents and kids that are being dedicated today. I would love to introduce you to the church family and celebrate you. So let's see here. Our first family that's coming up is the Russell family. We have Isaac. So we give them a warm welcome this morning. We also have the Sutton family with Adeline. Will you give them a warm welcome this morning? You guys want to come all the way down? And we have the Hooksema family coming up to celebrate Selah this morning. Good morning. We have the Fatima family welcoming June. We give them a round of applause. We also have the Burr family, and we're welcoming Gus today. Come on up. And the Van Hoekelum family, and they are dedicating Anna. Will you give them a warm round of applause?
We are thrilled. We love the opportunity to dedicate kids, and I love looking at all of these young families and how tired they are. Just kidding. You look great. You look great. Never mind. Here's the beauty. When we dedicate kids, we're first here as family. We're here as a church family celebrating and recognizing. You're also here, any of you who've either in the process or have raised kids, you probably went through this. And there's a sense with which you're renewed in your own dedication to simply help them and walk with them. But more than anything, it's living out our own faith. And so I'm going to ask them some questions, and then I'll ask you some questions because you're part of this. So don't worry, they're not difficult questions. You just have simple things you respond. But I think they're profound. So the first one I ask you really relates to your own life, because you can't really dedicate a kid to something you're not part of. And really the best thing you bring to anyone around you is your own pursuit of your faith. And so we simply ask, are you dedicating your own life to Jesus, your own pursuit of him, that's what you live from and then impart to others? If so, just say, I am. And then I'll remind you, all of you here are here as couples today, and we really believe that marriage is lived out before family is lived out, that in the creation narrative, man and woman's together, and it is good. Amen? Just wanted to remind us of that. And we think singleness is a great place too, but what we want to understand is, you first live out, you're dedicating your kid in your own marriage. You're not parents first, you're a couple first. And the gospel is lived out in how you love each other, how you pursue that. And so we're asking you to make that commitment. Is it your commitment as a couple to live in oneness, living out the gospel and loving each other first as your priority? If so, just say it is. And then we move into the dedicating of our kids. That ultimately what you're doing is you're saying, God, you've entrusted us with this life, with these lives, and we're dedicating them to you in a sense of saying, thank you for who you've given us, And now we want to impart what you have for them. We want to surrender our own dreams. We want to live in a way that actually is following, that they're taken by your lives of faith, not simply by what's done around them. And so is it your decision today? I love the noise. It's awesome. They're not listening to me anyway. I appreciate that you guys are. Is it your commitment today to dedicate your child to the Lord? Meaning I surrender to his dreams and his desires, but I want to do everything I can to help them discover who Jesus is and walk with him. And if so, just say it is. And now I get to ask them stuff too. So I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to ask you to stand. And part of it is we are a church family and their families are here too and they're part of this. So I know they're committing as well. But for us as a church family, we're here to be together in this. So I'm going to ask you first, is it your commitment to live out your own faith in Jesus and then out of your own marriage or singleness, live for him? And if so, I just want you to say it is. And then is it your commitment to be an extended family to these, to literally help and walk with them and support and encourage and really stand with, pray with, encourage along the way? If so, say again, it is.
It is.
And then I'm going to ask you, are you willing to surrender your own dreams for what you think all should be here, for what God has for them? And then in turn, are you also willing to be led and taught by these little ones? Because one of the things that happens is we think, oh, kids, we need to impart to them. And we don't realize, listen, they impart a lot to us in their childlike faith. And so are you humble enough to go, I will both impart and give what God gives me, but receive what God has for me from them? And if so, I just want you to say, I am.
I am.
So the joy is we are celebrating and dedicating them together today. So I'm going to invite you all to basically make your way down here. And then your families that are with you can come and join you. Go ahead and start making your way. Sorry. Get down. There you go. You're going to have to come around this way. Then those of you who are in families, come and be by those that you're with. We're going to pray over them and dedicate them this way. I do some walking music, but I have nothing in the hopper. And what I play on the guitar would not be fitting. So it's a joyful thing when we dedicate them. We follow in the tradition, really, of the culture Jesus was brought into. That's what is his dedication. Every child was dedicated to the Lord. And in our own Christian tradition in the church, we recognize that these little ones are given to us from God. So I'm going to pray for all of them. And I do want to pray. Each family had verses over the kids. We'll pray those as well. So I'm going to invite you to just pray with us as the families make their way. I don't want to make them miss out. But let's begin to pray. You can put hands out if you're comfortable with that. If you're not and it's too tiring for you, let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for each child here. We thank you for each family here, each marriage here, each circumstance and each life that you have uniquely and wonderfully knitted. Lord, we pray specifically for each one. We pray along with Dan and Janine for August. And Lord, we pray specifically what they are, God, that they have prayed for a child and you have granted them what they've asked for. So now, Lord, they say they give him to you for his whole life, that he will be given over to you, and may it be worship and life in them. And Lord, as well, we pray very specifically for the Fatimas. We pray with Josh and Hannah for June Lily. God, we pray with them that she would set her mind on the things above and not on earthly things. Even from an early age, that would be lived and loved differently. And Lord, in the same way we stand very significantly too with each family. We stand with Selah, with Evan and with Melody and with their family. And Lord, we pray with them very, very neatly. Lord, you, Lord, are the shield around her. You are her glory. Lord, you are the one who lifts her head high. And so we pray that love and blessing into her life. And then we pray with Nathan and Jordan here as well for Anna Lynn. Lord, we pray that even at an early age, she would trust you with all her heart and lean not on her own understanding, that she would acknowledge you in every way. And Lord, you would clearly make her path straight. And Lord, we pray with the Russells today too, that we pray for with Robin and Shay. We pray very specifically for Isaac. Pray, Lord, that he would love you with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind and all his strength. And we pray too, Lord, for with the Suttons, Lord, for Cody and Valerie, with Adeline. We pray that beautifully she would be strong and courageous and not be afraid and not fearing. And Lord, even as we've prayed specifically with each one, we pray as well that these kids would come to faith at an early age, that they would, their character would always grow ahead of their giftedness, that you would help their parents, their families, and all around to dream your dreams and not their own, to release them, that in the difficult days you'd give strength, in the great days you'd give celebration, in all things you'd bring humility. And we bless each one, and Lord, we dedicate them to you collectively in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in your powerful name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's welcome and celebrate these now. Let you guys head back to your seats when you're ready to.
Good morning. What a wonderful morning to celebrate with these families. We're so glad that you joined us. My name is Brandy Hafler, and I'm the Community Life Coordinator here at All Shores, and I am just so grateful that you decided to join us today, whether you're online or you're here in person, to celebrate with these families who have dedicated their little ones to the word and will of God. It is an honor as a church family to walk alongside these families as they lead their little ones in the light that is Jesus. And it is also our honor to walk alongside you in whatever you are experiencing. We love to be able to walk with you, to help you, to pray for you, to just connect with you. And a great way to let us know how we can do that is to complete a connection card. If you're online, you see a QR code probably on your screen. And if you're here in person, you will see in front of you a physical card. And there might even be a QR code there that you can scan. But if you do that, you can fill it out. Let us know, first of all, that you're here. And second, how we can pray for you. Or if you have any questions about our ministries, you can ask questions about getting connected. I just encourage you to fill one of those out. And if you do fill out the physical card, you can drop that off at the connection point in the lobby on your way out. It's out in the corner of the lobby. And I will be close to that today, so I would love to say hi to you. And especially if this is your first time here, we are very grateful you decided to join us. Please do fill out that connection card, stop by the connection point, and we would love to get a gift in your hand and just be able to greet you in person. But we're just so glad that you joined us today. If you are new, we also have an opportunity coming next Sunday, not today, next Sunday. After each service, we have something called Explore All Shores that is going to be in West 200, which is the building just to the west of the worship center. That is just an opportunity, a very short meeting with someone from staff to talk to you a little bit about who we are and why we do what we do, to ask some questions. And so I encourage you to come back next Sunday and attend one of those. It'll be after each service, and if you're not sure where to go, ask someone out in the lobby who's wearing one of these nifty name tags, and they'll be able to walk you over there. We worship God, and we're just so grateful for everything he's given us. Every resource that we have is a gift from God because he is the great provider. And we worship and honor him by giving back to him a portion of those resources. And those resources are used to support his church and to share the gospel around the world. And if this is your first time, we do not expect you to give anything. We're just grateful that you're here and want this service to be a gift for you. But if this is a place, if you call All Shores your home and you would like to give today, you can go to allshores.org/give. Or you can place your actual checks or cash in the boxes that are mounted on the walls out in the lobby. One of the things that those gifts go toward is supporting missionaries who are spreading the gospel around the world. And we are very blessed to have a couple of those missionaries here today. We have Noah and Kennedy Reynolds, who are going to be downstairs after this service. And they work with Crosswords and Crossworld in Thailand, where they teach English as a second language, and they work with children and build relationships to establish the church in Thailand. They're going to be here after the service downstairs in the children's ministry. So I encourage you to follow the signs and the smell down the stairs to hear a bit about what they get to do and what they see God doing through your financial support that allows them to go there. But they are going to be serving homemade Thai fried rice. So that's what you'll be following. So I encourage you to go downstairs and support them and just listen to all the great stories they'll have of what God is doing over there. Thanks again for being here. Please turn your eyes to the screen for a short announcement.
Hey, All Shores, in 2016, we began a partnership with Children's Hope Chest in Shashamene, Ethiopia. And since that time, we've sponsored 160 children at the Care Point, vulnerable children that needed education, healthcare, food, and resources. You've provided that, not only through those sponsorships, but we've raised funds through projects to provide a latrine, a water kiosk, and a dairy farm. But this year, this coming week, on Thursday, April 25th, we have our next fundraiser to raise funds for a bakery project, which will employ 14 families. And today is your last day to get tickets for that event. But it's not your last opportunity to give. So if you cannot come, we would encourage you to give to this project. If everyone who sponsors a child gave $300, we could have this bakery within the next year. And so I want to encourage you to either go or give or both. If you want to donate, you can go to allsores.org/HFTW, Heart for the World, and there will be a link for you to do that. And I want to encourage you, if you want to know more about the CarePoint, please email me at thad.spring@allsores.org.
Well, I want to welcome those joining us online, all of you here in the Spring Lake campus. We're in week two of a series we've titled Jesus the King, and we'll come back to that in a minute. I also want to celebrate with you. During our 9 o'clock, we end up streaming it over to our Muskegon campus, so they won't hear this again, but we are celebrating 5 years as a campus in Muskegon today, and I want you to just give thanks with us. Yeah. We are really thankful for the work that God is doing among us in that part of our family, and so we celebrate that today. As we prepare to open the scriptures together, we always invite you to pray in the quiet. We believe it's not about information or persuasion, but about revelation, and so we're simply asking you to ask the Lord to speak to you, that we believe Jesus wants to reveal himself to all of us, whether we're in doubt, whether we're struggling, whether we're moving ahead, whether we feel stuck. Just be honest with God in the quiet. You pray, and then I'll pray for us together. Lord, I pray on behalf of all of us that you would speak. You would reveal, you would lead, you would give hope, you would give encouragement. Lord, we want to discover more and more of who you are and respond to who you are in our lives. I pray for those among us who have doubts, who are skeptical, who struggle, who have been hurt or beaten down, that you'd give a tenderness to them. I pray for those of us who are stuck or kind of hardened, that you'd awaken us, and for all of us, Lord, that there'd be a revelation of you. Lord, anything I have to say that's not from you, I do pray it'll fall to the ground and be forgotten. But I pray whatever you want to say and are saying, that you would ignite, inspire, encourage, whisper, convict, whether it's directly as we talk or even individually in certain ways. Lord, I join with the psalmist that the words that I speak and the way we respond in our hearts and actions would please you, our rock and our redeemer. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. It is true. We're in the second week. We've titled the series Jesus the King. It's a study through the Gospel of Mark in particular, and I'll give you a little background into it when we get into it today. But I'm just show of hands, how many of you are old enough to have grown up with the game telephone? Many of you do telephone? Most of you have. I figure the younger they get, they're like, telephone, does that mean you text what the message is and move on? Like, it wouldn't even work today, would it? I don't know how to talk and do those things. But I want you to picture telephone, that you start at one end, and someone gives you a message or a statement, and then it moves down the line, right? And by the end, it usually has morphed quite a bit. That's typically what happens. I want you to consider that as it relates to how we see Jesus. Because we tend to, even when we hear things about him, either take it in through our own lens, our own filter, or we're somewhat removed and we may hear it second or third hand or in different ways. We want to know about him, but we often aren't directly discovering him, if you will. And make no mistake, even when we do sometimes, we put on Jesus the things we expect of him. In fact, Pew Research, they do tons of research nationally, has found oftentimes when it comes to our own beliefs about, just power and how life goes, we tend to put on Jesus those things. And so part of our heart in doing this series is saying, who is he really? How do we really discover him? And it's very specific to him being king, which is how Mark sees him. But I also want to encourage you beyond Sunday mornings that we have a reading plan through this series. And so if you go to allshores.org/king, we're only a week in. This is what we did last week. And I just want to remind you, it would be great for you to make this commitment. It's 2 paragraphs a day. It's not very long of the reading. You're just asking, Lord, speak to me. Help me to see you, Jesus, as you are. And we're encouraging you to step in with us and engage in the study to discover who he is directly, not just hear about him or have the limited exposure to him. We believe in Scripture, what we call the written word, that Jesus reveals himself as the living word, that the Holy Spirit helps us to discover him. And I'll tell you, if you weren't here with us last week, we'd love for you to go back, and we looked very specifically at Jesus the King being one who frees and forgives and also heals. That's what we did last week. That's what we started. And I want to give you one other picture that is very common, and it's not just in Mark's gospel, but all four, and that's that Jesus has 2 ways of doing things. I love that sound. It's awesome. I want to say it back. Ah! Don't worry about it. You're good. I'll probably do it a few times when I'm talking, so especially when I say something and people just look, I'll just go, ah! But where was I again? This is what happens. Bird, squirrel, where'd I go? So where was I? Oh, the gospel reading plan. Thank you. What series are we in again? No, I'm just kidding. I know that. One of the things as we look at what's in the way Jesus lived was he proclaims the kingdom. So he's a king. He brings a new kind of kingdom. He proclaims it. We call it the gospel. And then he demonstrates it. So it's words and it's actions. It's words and it's actions. It's words and it's actions. That's how the gospel unfolds as Jesus comes as the king. And each week we're trying to look at a different part of who he is, a different aspect of his kingship and his kingdom. That's what we're doing. So as we enter today, as we walk into this part, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. There's 16 chapters. It's the shortest of the 4 accounts. But I want to give you a little bit of what's happening just before this situation, because some things happen. It just gives you context for what we're walking into today. And again, if you're reading, what'll happen is you'll read these things even after we talk about them, but you'll get other fill-ins along the way, other aspects. We can't teach through all of it. So what happens earlier, we're in Mark chapter 4, is Jesus does some different healings. And after one of them in particular, people are mad, and they literally say he must be healing by Satan's power, which is just crazy and weird, isn't it? I mean, he heals someone, and they're like, oh, it's got to be Satan that did that. So that's the kind of battle that we're going to start seeing, is that people will be so concerned about how his kingship and kingdom come and what they do, they're going to be out to get him. That's just a simple thing. But what happens beyond this is now we get into a larger section of teaching, of more his proclaiming the kingship, the kingdom, the gospel, if you will. And what happens in this, and it comes right after they've been running him down, is he starts talking about how things grow in the kingdom. And he gives different kinds of soil, and he speaks to the fact that some is very hard, it's just not even open to hearing. He talks about some that's pretty shallow and can't hear when things get deeper or difficult. He talks about some that are preoccupied and anxious and even worried about comfort and wealth, and that can choke it out. And then he talks about the soil. He uses soils that are prepared and ready. And he equates it very simply with an open heart. And what he says is, you can be hearing and not hear. You can be seeing and not see. In other words, don't think just because you hear or see, you'd respond. It's about the condition of your heart. Is it open to growth? Now, that's just a great thing to ask all the time. I will tell you, every week I pray this through us. I pray where there's hard-heartedness that God would till the soil. I pray where it's shallow, God would take the rocks and deepen us. I pray where it's preoccupied and worried that God would uproot the weeds that are choking us out. And I pray we'd all have soil that's open. I am not going to settle for 4 types of soil. I'm going to keep asking God to change us. Now, as he continues and says this, then he gives one more example. And he talks about the kingdom itself is like a very small seed, the smallest one, a mustard seed, that it begins very small, but as it matures As faith matures, it grows to something enormous that covers many, many things. It's a picture of how faith is meant to grow in us, and it doesn't mean we don't have doubts, it doesn't mean we begin small, but something beautiful can come out of it. Now that's where we start, and now he's going to go through a situation after he's been teaching a lot, and that's what we're going to look at today. So it says in Mark 4, beginning in verse 35, that day, after he'd been teaching, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. Now, just to give you a little better picture, we're in the Sea of Galilee. That's where we are. We're on one of the shores here. The sea itself is 7 miles across and 13 miles from north to south. That's the size of it. We would think of it more of a lake, but it is a sea. That's what it's called, and it is still freshwater. But I want you to have a picture. So there's mountains around it. And then the boats themselves are about 25 feet long. We found this from Discovering the Antiquity, about 7 feet wide and 4.5 feet deep. Now, that is all the statistical information I know, and you may not care, but I knew it, and I thought I'm going to tell them anyway because I know it. So I'm just going to tell you. So you're welcome. May not even fit. But you need to understand those boats are fairly small, but the sea is still substantive. We can tend to think of it either as something that has no ending or no change. I want you to know that's what they're getting into, and this is a pattern that happens back and forth across the sea. Now, then he begins. A furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, before we go on, I want to stop to just consider what that means, that a furious squall came up. Because we may think of it as, oh, some waves hit. Like, I'm the kind of person, if it gets a few waves, I can be on a sailboat and get nauseated. I have the gift of nausea at any little thing. And we have these little storms that hit, and we go, oh, they're kind of a bad storm. When it says a big squall came up, these are significant. So much so that even today, the way the mountains come around this area, the way the winds can blow is very unique in how storms can even come up in a very short amount of time. But even for people, there are warning signs not to park your car anywhere near the shore or the beach because they literally can overcome any area even around the sea. They're severe when they come. They're overwhelming when they come, and they can wipe out any and everything. Now, I want you just to consider, we obviously are not at sea, and I don't know how many of you have been in a severe storm like that, but how many of us have been either around a tornado, straight line winds, or just think about, have you ever had that when lightning strikes and it's a loud storm and you do the counting to find out how many miles away it is? I mean, I grew up here and every count is a mile. 1, 2, 3, you're like, okay, not too far away, not too close. Then you ever know where it hits and all of a sudden it's booming and you're like, oh, like that scared me severely. Like you realize this is a power that's bigger than me. I can't control it, and I don't know what to do other than sit here in it. And I'll tell you, as a kid, I mean, Oreos and milk did the trick. It definitely helped, although it didn't take the storm away, did it? Now today you probably have almond milk and gluten-free cookies, but, you know, it's the same idea. I got a nasty email after that, or text after that last service. You're throwing shade at me. And I was like, well, it wasn't you particularly, but you're welcome. But I want you to consider moments when you've been scared where nature itself is overwhelming and you can't stop it. You can't deal with it. You don't know what's going to happen. Like that's the moment they're in, and their lives are at risk because they're in it. And then it tells us what Jesus is doing. Jesus is in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care that we're in the midst of this? Don't you realize what is going on for us?" Now, I want you to consider not just a physical storm, but consider the storms in your lives that come. Because we have storms that come up quickly in our lives. It can be the storm of just a bad, you've had a lump and you went in to have it checked and you have to go in for a test. And suddenly the storm comes up. The next story is it's more severe than you thought and the storm comes up. Next is a hard diagnosis and a long road of treatment, and you don't even know what happened, and the storm comes up. It can be a rejection or a broken relationship that suddenly a storm hits, and you are thrown about and don't know what's going on. It can be a financial disparity and stress, or it can be one after another, after another, after another. Or you're just like, I don't even know how to take this anymore. It can be loss and sorrow and change and struggle, where you're literally like, where are you, Jesus? So let's be clear. We're looking at something in the natural phenomenon, and this matters. It also matters that we realize there are lots of ways this happens to us, where it seems like God is in the boat, not even aware of what we're going through and struggling. And I want to be honoring of this. This is not a momentary thing. For some of us, it can go on for months. It can go on in patterns. It can go on for years. It can become a way of life where it literally can pull us away from, why would I follow when Jesus doesn't seem to care or be awake? So I want us to be there too, as we are in the nature of it, that it's beyond that and bigger than that. Now they're freaking out, rightly so. And he gets up and he rebukes the wind and he says to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. I mean, come on, is that not crazy? Can you imagine being in a moment like that, where everything's overwhelming, it's coming over, the water's coming in the boat, you're convinced you're going down, and you can see the boats around you going down too, and Jesus just stands up and says, quiet, be still. And I can see it on your faces, the enamorment and the excitement you have from it. It's so amazing to look at your stoicness through it all. And I realize you can't manufacture that, but we know if something like that happened, wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't it be crazy in the midst of a moment if Jesus said, calm, quiet, be still? And can we agree we want that? We long for that. We long for Jesus to speak into the storms of our lives and have them just stop and have them calm and have everything be fine again. Now listen to what he goes on to say, and we're going to come back to the meaning of this and what it might mean for us. And he says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, I don't want you to think of this as a harsh question. Remember, they have been with him. They've been watching him move and heal and deliver and transform. Everywhere they've gone, they've heard his teaching. This isn't like they're just in a boat. But he's saying to them, something's missing from you. You don't really trust me. And when a storm comes, you don't really trust me. Let's be honest. We all have that at different degrees, don't we? And I think maybe today more than ever, we kind of think if Jesus isn't quickly fixing it, why would we trust him? And I love their response. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, this is an important part of this story for us, because Jesus is commanding over nature. Like, we have to realize that's the declaration here. Jesus is the king. He's the king that brings his kingdom, and his power actually has authority over nature. That is amazing, isn't it? I mean, we lose sight of just how powerful Jesus is. We kind of think of him as very limited in his ability or his strength or his power. And he's telling them, he's reminding them, he's giving pictures of them that he literally has authority over the very nature and creation. Now, this would not come in a vacuum for anybody who is in the early culture of Jesus' day and early Christians, because they would go back to the images in the very scriptures of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. They would have little things that connected, like Jonah ends up, he's a prophet. He doesn't want to do what God tells him to, so he gets on a boat to go away, and he basically is sleeping down below, and this horrible storm comes, and now everybody there thinks they're going to die. And Jonah, like Jesus, is in this lower section. Now, what's funny is they can't figure it out, so they cast lots, and it comes to his name, which I just find hilarious. He comes up, they're like, hey, what did you do? What's going on? And he tells them, man, I ignored God. I told you I'm running away. I don't want this. And through various arguments, it keeps going. They finally throw him overboard. Welcome, Jonah. And the storm stops just like that. So it's another image that we have in the Hebrew scriptures, just of God's overseeing nature and somehow always moving in the midst of these storms and struggles. But we have bigger pictures than that. We have the picture of Israel being in bondage to Egypt for 400 years. 400 years. This is not like instantaneous, by the way. Generations not getting out of slavery. And one day, God finally delivers them through a whole series of supernatural things, and they end up right at the base of the Red Sea. And they're stuck. Egypt's coming for them. And God has Moses basically his rod out, the staff out, and the ocean parts. Oh, come on. Don't you want to be there for that? We always try and see it on TV, and it's like, it's nice CGI, but we have no idea. I don't know how the wind felt, I don't know, but to watch a sea part and them to walk through, and then it closes up to protect them on the other side. That is God's authority over nature. And his authority moving. By the way, the picture isn't just historically what happens. Egypt, this happens literally, but Egypt also represents the bondage, not just to slavery, but all of humanity's bondage to sin. The sacrificial lamb that allows them to be free, and then the seas part for them to walk from death to life, right out of that bondage to a new destiny. This is what's coming with Jesus. I just want you to see this beauty of nature and how it's giving images, but let me take you all the way back to the creation story. When it tells us there's darkness over the earth and it's not formed and there's a primal sea that represents, in the sense of a Jewish mind, chaos and even darkness, and God speaks into it and creates. He speaks into it and the waters are separated. He speaks into it and the heavens and the earth. He speaks into it and the sun and the moon. He speaks into it. And then each of those areas are filled with all different kinds of animals and life and ultimately humanity. And he speaks into it and he breathes life into us. You see, when Jesus does this, it is an image that Jesus is God. He is king over all. Isn't that crazy amazing? Now, there's something for us in this, and there's something just to simply rest in. When you're outside, when you head out to the lakes like many of us do, and you hear those waters coming in, it always says the seas clap their hands. It's beauty of the seas roar. It's like, I think the seas are saying, you are worthy of worship, God. We worship you, God. We worship you. When a storm comes in, it goes, boom, we worship you. Like in creation, we hear the joy of it worshiping God, and we do it through our lives and how we are. So there's this beauty of Jesus' authority and power is actually over creation. Now that leads us both to be excited and should build our faith. And then in our very self-centered life and way of immediate response, it also makes us go, why isn't it better for me? Why isn't the storm calmed? And then if it is calmed, something happens, like literally a horrible thing is coming and we pray and then it moves, but it crushes other people. What does that mean? We cannot make sense of the elements. So I want to be clear, it helps us see his power. It doesn't help us make sense of why and what goes on. And make it clear, he doesn't do a lot with nature all through his life, other than he does make it dark for some hours. It's pretty crazy. At his very end of life, there's some wild things. But don't think of it as God's a genie because he has authority over everything. This is what we expect. Because he has authority, he will come out and he will say, be still. And that's what we look for from Jesus. Why aren't you telling us be still? Why aren't you fixing this? Let me make it clear, this is not just a one-off that it's there in a few places. It's scattered through all of the scriptures. If you look in the Hebrew Bible and you look, for example, at the Psalms, I'll just give you one very simple example of this because it speaks to God's power over all these different things, not just creation. In Psalm 65, it begins by talking about how praise awaits you, God, that you actually answer prayer, you respond to your people, that you forgive transgressions. It's right in there in the power of who he is. And when he calls transgressions, he's talking about the rebellion, the revolt we have of authority, the contesting that we think we're in charge. We do what we want for us. And then Jesus, we make him the same way. You're supposed to fix our lives and calm our storms and make it better. If you really did what you're supposed to, you center on me. We tend to do that. And then it goes on to say you answer with awesome righteous deeds. And it says, God, you're our Savior. And it gives this beautiful picture. You're the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest sea. And then this is what it says as it concludes. God, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, who the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. I just love that that's where it goes. See, we think of creation as an order that God oversees, but he oversees the very turmoil of the nations. Our problem is we're expecting him to tell it to shut up and do what he wants. That's how we go about the life, isn't it? Jesus, if you weren't asleep in the boat, you'd get up and you'd speak to this. And there's storms going on in our own lives, in our areas, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. And we keep thinking God needs to get up and tell it to shut up and take charge. But that's not how Jesus moved, and it's not how God moves. This is a comfort to us, but it's not a guide to how he does it. It's just saying God is in it even when we don't see it. And in case you don't know, when the church was growing tremendously in the first century, they had no power. They did nothing of any means of power like we would expect it, and yet they changed all of Roman culture because they understood Jesus' power differently. They understood the storms differently. They understood life differently, but it was rooted in this, that Jesus, the King, has authority over nature. Like that we want to stay on, and even when you don't believe it, we want to just begin to recognize it more. What if you and I increasingly understood that Jesus actually has authority over nature? And then you need to take it another level, which is what this speaks to, that the darkness and the chaos that are pictured on the sea are the storms and the darkness and the destruction in life. Both that done to us and that we cause ourselves, that we live in life's storms. And it's hard, isn't it? I mean, some of you, like I said, even when I brought up earlier, some of you may be right in the middle of a storm. You might be in a longer-term storm. You might be in one that feels like it's more of a way of life, like you just can't believe God is for you and that he's with you and that he loves you because you've had enough difficulty, it just seems like he's sleeping in the boat. Where are you, God? Why aren't you getting out? Don't you care? And here's the beauty and the hardness of it. The beauty is that the power over creation points to a power even greater than that. You see, we want Jesus to wake up and say to the storm, be still, everything we go through. But what he does is it points to something greater in how he exercises his power. Because greater than commanding it to be silent, Jesus, instead of sleeping in a boat, stretches out on a cross. And when he stretches out, it's not just simply kind of an anecdote or a nice idea that he's there to cover our sin. It's that he also stretches out to take on all of our storms, to experience the pain and suffering of them, to be with us in them, and to overcome them in a way that power proclaimed doesn't do by itself. He comes as a king to experience our storms, to be with us in our storms, to cover us in our storms, and to do something that only he can do through his surrender and sacrifice by carrying them. See, I am convinced that Jesus experiences and knows the things both that are done to you and that you do to others, that he's in those storms and knows them. I had someone mention it to me after last service. That's a great picture, is that probably what we need to do is just go lay down with them and just be present in those. And let me say it to you another way. One of the deepest struggles that happens in the church, because we have this quick fix idea that if God loves us, he'll fix things for us and he'll speak silence into them, is we don't realize that picture of his power is saying is great and the authority is over everything. He demonstrates even greater power through stretching and sacrificing and surrendering. And the beauty of that is it gives us hope when the storm doesn't end, doesn't it? It gives us hope in the midst of the storm instead of just saying, I won't be okay until you fix the storm, until you calm the storm, until you make the storm better. Instead, he's saying, I'm with you in the storm. And what I bring isn't a momentary fix. It'll change everything. And so I want to say this to some of you with us today. Some of you would be in a longer-term struggle. And we call that a trial, where there's a point where it's like, man, this is taking a while, and I don't know how it's going, but it's a trial. It's a struggle. It's a difficulty. The storm's going on. And make no mistake, some of them we cause, some of them are done to us. They happen in lots of ways. And then some of you, it's been so long in such a way of life, you'd call it a wall. Like, I just can't believe God is for me. It's been going on so long. I can't see him. I don't know where he is. And words like, where are you? Don't you care? They've been going on for months, maybe even years for you. And here's what I want to say. First of all, the God you don't think is there has power over everything. Second of all, you keep looking for him to end the storm instead of going, no, he surrenders and sacrifices. He doesn't speak in that, he surrenders and sacrifices and it takes it on with and for you. But I want to say this too, for many of us, we go and isolate in those places. I'm having trouble, I'll walk away. I'm having trouble, I'll be alone. And you know what the life of the church is? We've all been through different parts of that. Some of you have been through trials. Some of you have hit a wall and been through it. And you know what happens in those places? They're the places we can't see Jesus and we don't know where he is, but we learn to have faith that he's there when we don't see him. And we learn to trust when we can't see him. And we learn things like, I'm more broken than I thought. Man, I need more humility in this thing. And then we come out on another side where he actually, the mystery of who he is greater. And the trust in him is greater whether storm comes or whether calm comes. We bring that to each other. Did you know that? And that's normal Christian life. So while we love that he's over everything and he has power over everything, and that's true, we love even more that the way he most significantly demonstrates his power is not by saying, be still. It's by stretching out and sacrificing and surrendering and carrying the very storms we can't carry on our own. So I want to pray for you wherever you're at today in that. And I know I can't manufacture it, but I also trust that the Holy Spirit can meet you in it. And I also trust that God will help us to be more aware of how we need each other in these places. When you know somebody's going through a hard time, that we're not here to answer, we're here to be present. Now, him just being in the boat just reminds me, man, the best thing we bring is ourselves to someone struggling. The best thing we do is just be with him when we don't know what to do. And so I'm going to pray that he meets us today in those places. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I just confess, you know better what people need. So I pray whatever I ask for that you'd move, whatever else you see, you just move freely and whisper and speak and support and help. I pray that people would hear the whisper of your love saying, I am here, I am with you, and I am for you, even when it doesn't seem like it. Lord, would you help us to be that for other people when we know they are struggling and they are lost and they have felt just out of sorts, not knowing where you are and struggling. And Lord, we are asking that we would become more enamored with your power of surrender and sacrifice and seeking that over your power to quick calm a difficulty. Lord, help our faith grow that you are Lord over all of creation, over nature, and help our confidence to grow that whether the storm stops or not, that you're with us and you're for us and you meet us and you will bring something we cannot explain when we don't know. Grow faith in us, Lord. Grow hope in us, Lord. In those places where we're just kind of sitting going, but I've had so much, would you start to open our hearts again that you're still here and you love us? And put others around those that are struggling. They wouldn't be alone. I pray this in your name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We have a little time after the teaching of Scripture. Go ahead and stand. Sorry, I knew I said it, but you stayed sitting. So Simon says stand. Just kidding. We worship and we celebrate communion. It's a place that God meets us. We believe as we sing to him that his spirit moves and helps solidify or whisper or move. And we celebrate communion, which is the one activity where we sit and God covers us. So even as we sing of his very creation, the very nature of who he is, not only sing it and sing it for others, but ask the Lord to reveal to you the greatness of his power, the greatness of his majesty as you sing, that they wouldn't just be words, they'll actually be understanding and revelation for you. Let's worship together.
O God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark, crashed out the banner of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I can see your heart in everything you've made. every burning star, a single fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. Speaking like a little full empty old void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. Oh yeah, and as you speak, a hundred billion your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you say. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, canvas of your if creation still obeys you, so will I. Yes, so will I. Oh, so will I. Stars are made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, we'll sing again 100 billion times.
Invite you to be seated just for a few minutes. Hopefully when you came in, you received the cups we have for communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever your tradition, if you've been around the church, referred to it as. The top layer is the bread, and the bottom layer is the very cup. And I want to explain it this way. We don't have a membership stipulation, like you need to be part of us. We want to encourage you, if you in some way are pursuing Jesus, that you're welcome to participate. If you're not ready, we don't want you to feel obligated either. It's part of why we do it often in our seats this way, as it leaves the freedom. But I do want to give you a picture, because I know that some of you, and all of us need this at different times, are in storms. And I want you to picture you're sitting there not knowing what to do, being tossed around, that Jesus actually comes to you in the very flesh of who he is and loves you. And not only forgives you and dies for you, but takes on the burdens and struggles with you and offers a hope that could never be fully found in the moment. A hope that transcends that, a hope that's with you. And you may not have the faith to believe it. And the beauty of communion is all you do is receive. You know, I pray God meets you whether you're ready for it or not. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body and it's given for you." It's an image of him coming in the flesh, not simply to calm a storm, but to sacrifice and surrender and carry the storm with and for you. Let's take. In the same way he took the cup, says a new covenant in my blood. It's the very cup that says we have forgiveness through his death, through his very bloodshed. It's the cup that overcomes the darkness inside of us, that forgives those things done to us and in us and washes us in a new way. We receive that together. Lord, I'm praying that you'd meet people where they need you in this wonderful sacrament that we celebrate today. Mystically reveal, bring life, bring hope, bring revelation. And continue to be with us, Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to conclude our time in worship. And I want to say this to you. If you're not able to sing, if you're like, man, life's too hard right now, just let us sing over you. Sometimes it's just being in the presence of other believers and going, I need the faith of others to carry me in their worship. And then for those of you who have it, can you sing strong? Because we need your faith imparted to all of us as we worship and respond to who Jesus is. And that's what we do when we sing this way. Let's worship.
Oh God of salvation, chase out my heart through all of my failure and pride. On the hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you so alive, I can see.
Give you a blessing in just a minute as you prepare to go. And this week especially, I want you to just be paying attention to creation. Just look, whether you're out in the cornfields, whether you're out somewhere in the rural areas and you're looking at a sun come up or a sunset or a storm come across, whether you're out by the lake, whether you're just looking at the beauty around us, just continually be reminded God made that, and all of creation worships him. And Jesus has authority over all of that. And he cares deeply for you and me. And he showed greater power in his unbelievable, sacrificial, substituting, carrying the messes with and for us life. That we could have more than a momentary be calm. We could have forever and new life in new ways. Would you place your hands out? Let me give you a blessing. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ continually fill you with the Spirit. May the revelation of Jesus increase in your life. May the times that you don't sense him there and you wonder where he is, may he increase your faith to trust, to be humble and surrendered and discover him in that. And may others come around you in those times, and may you come around others as they need you in those times too. May it be glory to him, joy to you, and love to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.